Are you ready to hear?
Amen.
All right. And open your Bibles to James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Got a whole month ahead of us of learning what it means to be swift to hear. And nothing until you start studying it. And message after message after message gets down into your heart. You'll find out you didn't know as much as you thought you knew about being ready to hear and swift to hear. James chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 16. Just read a couple of verses. It says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." You know, James is such a practical book. There's so much in the book of James about how to live the Christian life and how to interact with each other. And a lot of instruction, not only about being swift to hear, but about the tongue also. How to talk to people and how to relate to people. But he's talking to us. You see that in verse 19? "Wherefore, my beloved brethren." He's talking to us as Christians, and he's trying to give us some guidelines here. God has given us some guidelines and instructions for how to interact with each other and just how to live this Christian life. Keep your finger here in James chapter 1. I just want to look at two verses in Proverbs. I will be looking at a lot of verses this morning, but first, Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 12. Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 12. It says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord had made even both of them." So who made your eyes and who made your ears? The Lord did. And I believe He made them so that we could see His Word and we could hear His voice through these Scriptures. God gave us a hearing ear to hear His voice. Turn over to the right to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Ecclesiastes 5:1 says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, and therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words." I'm going to touch on that a little bit, but you see there in verse 1, be more ready to hear. We have to learn how to be more ready to listen and hear. And I think that's one of the reasons it says there in verse 16, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Don't wander from the truth. Don't get off on a different path. You need to be listening to what the Word of God says. Be ready to hear. Christians need not to be like the world. The world has turned its back on God. The world has stopped its ears. But I'm sorry to say that many Christians have done the same thing. And they're not hearing God. They're not reading their Bibles. They're not hearing the Holy Spirit speak to them. It's like they've turned away from God. We've got to learn to listen again. We've got to learn to listen to God. It seems like we're engaging our mouth before our brain even knows what it's supposed to say. We're just talking with no understanding. But the Bible says in Proverbs 18:13, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." And too many of us try to give counsel or we just start talking before we even know what someone said. Before we even know the story and what's being told to us. Before we have any counsel, give any counsel, we need to hear the matter completely. We need to listen to the other person. We need to listen to the other person's full story. And we need to listen to the other person's full story first. Make sure you gather all the facts. So we need to be careful that we don't become a fool, and it's a shame to us because we just blurt out something to someone. And look, every one of us is guilty of this. We've all engaged our mouth before we thought about what to say. So we need to learn this as a church. to be ready to hear. We just need to learn that. I know I do. Let's not be swift to speak and slow to hear. We need to be better listeners. Look back in James chapter 1. Because most of us are that way. We're swift to say something. We have an opinion, and we're going to give it. And we don't wait and think about what we should say to somebody. And we're slow to hear counsel from someone else or from the Bible. But one of the reasons there, it says in verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. You know, if you flipped around verse 19 and people were, every man was slow to hear and swift to speak, he'd be swift to wrath. You see? When you flip the verse around, you wind up with verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You see, God's telling us, don't be fooled, don't be deceived, don't wander off the path, my beloved brethren. God doesn't tempt anybody to sin. When you sin, you're tempted of your own lust in the preceding verses. And then he said, every good gift, all the good things that we have in our life come from God. You see? And of his own will, he did beget us with the word of truth. And he wants us to be a kind of first fruits to glorify him. And that's when he says, wherefore, because of these things, my beloved brother, be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Because when we flip this thing around, that's why we have so many struggles and strife and contentions in our life. Because we won't slow down to hear. Slow down to hear. We're too swift to speak, you see. Remember something, that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It's wrath. Man can be angry. We're learning about that. That in RU, that we could be angry. Be ye angry, but sin not. So, anger is what you are. I am angry. Well, what am I angry about? And what is my response in anger? See, Jesus got angry, didn't he? And he got angry at the Pharisees. He got angry at the money changers. But he didn't sin. I think it's possible for a Christian to be angry at some things. There is a righteous indignation. You ought to be angry at some things. But it should not lead to wrath. Anger is what I am. Why am I angry? Because when it turns to wrath, I'm not working the righteousness of God. Leave the wrath to God. But the anger can help with the right response toward things that God hates, I should hate. And I should get angry at them the same way God does. But I don't want it to lead to wrath. See, anger is what we are, but wrath is what we do and what we say. So let's be careful about those things. And that's why he says, beloved brethren, slow down. Be slow to hear. Swift to hear and slow to speak. So, the verses really could just say, stop sinning and hear God's voice and then obey it. Don't err, my beloved brethren. You know, we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak, but it has to become part of our character. We're going to have to practice this. It's not going to come natural. It's just not the way we are. We're going to have to actually think about it all day long, and I need to slow down and listen to what people are saying. It's got to be part of the way we respond to every situation in our life. You just touched on it a little bit when we were going over the memory verse. That so many of the problems in our life are just because we've engaged our mouth before we ever thought about what we should say or if we should say anything. God's trying to tell us something here and how to keep ourselves out of a lot of bad situations. Hey, when a wife says to a husband, are you listening to me? The husband needs to respond honestly, I have no idea what you're talking about. Because I wasn't listening. Don't say, yeah, I heard you. Because she's going to ask you another question and you're going down. All right? So just say, no, I wasn't paying any attention. But I have to work on that, and so does every other man in here. If he's a man, he got testosterone in his body, he doesn't listen. So I have to listen. Completely listen to my wife, what she's saying. You know, I know people believe in multitasking. I can't multitask. I can only do one thing at a time. I can only focus on one thing at a time, and if my wife's talking, I need to focus on what she's saying and wait until she's done and then respond to it. You know, are you sure you understand what is said all the time? You have to make sure that what you're hearing, you understand what someone is saying. Like, two women who are in a jewelry store. And they're out for a day shopping, and they're in the jewelry store, and the two women are looking at all the jewels and the bangles and the bracelets and all the things. And the one says, Oh, I really love that bracelet. Look at that bracelet. It's a few hundred euros, though. Oh, I need to call my husband. If I buy it, I have to call my husband. So she calls her husband, who's very busy, you know, and he picks up his mobile, and he says, yes, darling. And she says, oh, honey, we're at the jewelry store, and I just saw this beautiful bracelet, and it's a few hundred euros, and can I have it? Can I have it? And he says, no, price too high. And the phone goes dead. And she says, honey, honey? And the other woman says, what did he say? What did he say? My husband, he said, no price too high. So it's not, it's what you hear. You have to understand what you're hearing. She said, he's such a darling. No price too high. What are you hearing? Do you really understand what someone has said? How about this older couple that had a serious discussion about which one of them was losing their hearing? You ever had that? We've had that a few times, right? This became quite a bone of contention between them, and the husband decided he was going to settle the issue once and for all. So while his wife was enjoying in their living room reading a book, he yelled out from the kitchen and said, dear, would you like a cup of tea? And hearing no response, he went into the next room and said again in a firmer voice, dear, would you like a cup of tea? Again, no reply from his wife. Lastly, he goes into the living room, he gets right behind the chair where she's sitting and says, dear, would you like a cup of tea? And she turned around with an expression on her face, and she said, for the third time, yes! That does not happen in my house. Because I don't drink tea, and neither does Jeff. When you think about it, are you really listening? This is really serious, though, for the Christian. Are you hearing from God?
Amen.
Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And in verse 5, the Bible says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attend unto wise counsels. You know, a wise woman or a wise man will hear. They'll listen. Will pay attention to what really matters. It matters what your wife and your husband say. It matters what your children say. It certainly matters what God says. And we need to listen to Him. And a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain, gain, apprehend wise counsel. Be swift to hear. Be swift to hear. Always ready. Always giving and listening the ear to understand what is being said. We really have to learn this because we don't do it. There's nothing but grunts and people when they converse anymore. There's no words being exchanged. It just seems like no one can hold a conversation anymore. Certainly teenagers. They don't know how to hold a conversation anymore. It seems like you can't talk to them and get any response back from them. But we need to listen to each other. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. It's like we've lost this idea of listening and talking to each other, hearing what each other's saying, but especially listening to God. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 11. You know the story about Elijah. He's up on Mount Horeb now. And Jezebel's looking for him. But in verse 11 it says, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12 says, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it. He finally hears the voice of God. He hears a still, small voice. And we're going to have to really prepare ourselves to listen to God. You're really going to have to get into your Bible, and you really have to get alone with God and really listen for God's voice. Because He doesn't shout. He speaks to us inside of our hearts. He speaks to us, though, from the Bible. You won't hear God coming from anywhere else but from His book. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't shout. He just speaks to us inside of our heart. So you have to be listening. You have to be listening, just like Elijah was. All the clamor in the world out there, the fire and the earthquakes and all the things going on in our life, God's not speaking in that. You have to get alone with God into our Bible. And that's how He'll speak to us. Be ready to hear when you open your Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Are you personally hearing from God? Every day. Think about that. Every day you ought to be opening your Bible, studying your Bible, and hearing from God. Because God doesn't speak any other way to us but through this book. You're not going to get it anywhere outside of the Bible. When the Holy Spirit speaks, He doesn't speak anything but this Word. He speaks that back to our hearts. So if you're not in the Word of God, then you're not going to hear from God because the Holy Spirit has nothing to offer you. But when you open this Bible up and you read this book and you study this book, the Holy Spirit can speak to your heart. It's going to happen in your personal devotions. It's also going to happen during the preaching of the Word of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And in verse 18, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So where is the power of God? In the preaching of God's Word. There's no special man that has special powers. It's God's Word that has the power. It's the Holy Spirit that is the power. It's not in the man. In chapter 2, look in verse 1, it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. It wasn't in Paul. The power was the Holy Spirit of God in Paul through the Word of God, but not Paul himself. In verse 2, it says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Doesn't sound like you had a lot of power. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So if you're waiting for somebody up here to entertain you, that's not going to happen. I hopefully could put two words together into a sentence and tell you something that God's given me during the week preparing a message. The power is of God. It's whether you came ready to hear or not from God, because if you did, God will speak to you. Even out of someone who's just trying to get the next word out of his mouth. Because Paul said, I came fearful, I was trembling, and I'm sure he was fearful of God, of doing the right thing, but he came in the power of God. And they heard from God. Because they didn't hear man's words, they heard God's word. And that's where the power of God is. Did you come ready to hear that this morning? 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Some of you look like bullfrogs looking at me. Your eyes are bugging out. But I'll tell you, in today's church, people come, but they don't come to hear from God. They come to socialize. They come to hear the music, maybe, if they got some kind of funky music going on there. But you need to come to hear from God. Because somebody's just prepared the message. The pastor labors over messages to feed the sheep. And we come in, but we're not ready to hear. We need to hear from God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? Why? Because the time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Do your ears itch today? Do you want to hear what you want to hear? You've come to the wrong place. We're going to preach the word of God, and you're going to hear from God. And hopefully you get right with God. If you haven't been reading your Bible, then read it. Because you're missing out and you're going to have to stand before God someday. Did you come here for any other reason but to hear from God this morning? You came for the wrong reason. Don't come to bring your sacrifices. Come to hear from God. Come to hear from God and get right with God. Verse 4 says, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth and be turned unto fables. The preaching of the Word of God. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So when you hear, you ought to obey. what you hear. But that's in prayer. Jesus talks to us. God speaks to us in prayer. You can hear His personal call to you. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. They obey Me. Look in John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 47. Jesus just gets done talking with the Pharisees and letting them know that their father is the devil. They don't believe him. They don't want to hear the truth because they're not of the truth. But in verse 47, he says, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." And I wonder, if you're not able to hear God's word today, are you of God? Have you been saved? When were you saved? This might be the first time you've ever heard preaching. The first time you've ever been in a church like this, where the Bible's lifted up. And God's lifted up in this way. But maybe you're not hearing these words. They don't make much sense to you. Well, just hang on. I'm going to tell you, too, how to be saved today. But you need to hear. You need to listen. But a lot of people come in and their ears are stopped. Maybe you're not of God, because he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. That's what God said. God said that. So God only speaks to us through His Bible. You need to hear, the wise will hear from their parents. Look at, I just want to get off on this a little bit. Proverbs chapter 1. Young people, there's a few of them in here. And, well, it doesn't matter. If you're still at home, then mom and dad are in charge. You ought to be listening to them. But in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Do you realize you're not smarter than mom and dad? Do you realize that? Do you realize you don't have the wisdom that mom and dad have? You can't rush that along. That comes with age. And getting older, right, Pat?
Amen.
Amen. Look how much wiser we are just by getting old. But you're commanded to hear. But you're commanded to listen. Children ought to obey their parents. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not." That's not a suggestion. That's a command from the Bible. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 1. "Hear ye, children." I guess we should be in Sunday school for this one, but there's people in here that need to hear this. "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." Parents are to instruct, give their children doctrine and teaching, and their law. Do you realize that? It says their law. You know your parents have laws for their home. That's their laws, and we're to listen to those laws. We're to do what our parents tell us to do. It's their commandments. We're to hear and obey. And it says you'll live longer. Keep my commandments and live. If you listen to your parents, you will live longer. I made enough mistakes not listening to mom and dad. Mom and dad said not to do certain things, and I did them, and it cost me. And it cost me. We think we're smarter than mom and dad, but we're not. You ought to listen to your mother and your father. Look at chapter 5. "Nevertheless, you're commanded." It says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge." Parents have wisdom. We ought to listen to them. You ought to listen to them so that you can judge and discern and do the right thing by listening to what mom and dad say to you. Let me give you a verse of Scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I know, because some are sitting there saying, "I know exactly what to do. I know what to do. I know what I'm supposed to do. I don't need to listen to mom and dad." Well, you know, this verse here in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 11 says, Paul said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. And I understood as a child, and I thought as a child." But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So no matter how, if you're a teenager, you're thinking like a teen. You're not thinking like mom and dad. You're thinking like a teen. If you're 12, 13, 14 years old here, you're thinking like a child. That's just the way it is. Don't try to rush this wisdom along. It's not going to come. Wisdom comes with age, as you experience life. And especially, they've been in the Bible a little bit longer than you have. So just trust mom and dad and listen to them. You ought to hear from your parents. You also ought to hear the call to service. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to be throwing a lot of things at you, but it's just a matter of hearing, listening. You ought to hear the call to service. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. You know, God has a role, a responsibility, a job for you. And Paul's begging the church. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I beseech you, I'm begging you, to live as worthy of that calling. Because God does have a call on your life. I wonder how many people even know what God wants them to do with their life. I wonder how many really know what God wants them to do with their life. Are you really listening for God's call? Because He has a call for your life. But it's not going to be out there in the world. You're going to hear it through the pages of this book as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. That's how you're going to hear the call of God. Have you heard? Are you even listening? Do you even want to know what God has for your life? Many a young person has turned away from God's call. Maybe the full-time ministry, and I guarantee they'll regret the decision. You will regret that decision. Nothing else is more important. If God has called you now, I'm saying, God is putting His finger on your life, you know that you're hearing something you haven't heard before. God has impressed you with a scripture or something. You go to your pastor and he talks with you about it, and then you turn your back on it, you will regret that. Because God wanted to do something special with you. God has a call on everyone's life in here. He has something for you to do. I don't care who you are, where you came from, or what you're doing now. If you're a child of God, God has a call on your life. Also, look at Philippians chapter 3. Just to the right one book, Philippians chapter 3. And in verse 14, it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing on. Paul heard the call. He really heard the call of God on his life. And he was pressing. He was pushing towards that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I wonder, if you've heard that call, are you pressing towards it? Are you trying to go forward and do what God wants you to do? Because Paul says in verse 12, he says, not as though I'd already attained. I haven't already gained or arrived yet. Either were already perfect, but I follow after it that I may apprehend. I may seize or take that for which I am also taken or seized by Christ, apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, pressing onward. Don't look back. Just keep your eyes forward and look. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Put your hands to the plow and don't look back. When you hear the call, follow the Lord. Don't waste precious time and precious years on worldly things and worldly attractions. Just follow the Lord. God has a far better plan for your life than you do, or anybody out there that can tell you any different. God has a great plan for your life if you'll just seize Him like He seized you. He's taken a hold of your life. You take hold of Him. He wants to give you something to do, a responsibility, a calling on your life. Do you hear it? Are you even listening? I'm looking out and I'm seeing a lot of young people that could be used of God. You know, instead of just waiting, why don't you just volunteer and say, Lord, do you want me? Take me. Because God can say, I got something for you to do, but not that. You know, God will direct and move in your life. But why don't you just say, Lord, I'm listening. Would you speak to me? Show me what you want me to do. You don't see that as much anymore. How about James 1:22. You know, it's not enough to hear. I mean, my ears are hearing, but sometimes they're not always obeying what they hear. And verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So it's not enough to just hear. Hearing should prompt obedience to what is heard, especially when God is speaking to us. Otherwise, the hearing means nothing. Now here's a verse of Scripture I want you to look at. Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. Swift to hear. Ready to listen. Ezekiel chapter 33. Look at verse 30. "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord." It sounds good. But God's telling Ezekiel that they're speaking against you. But they're saying, "Come, let's go hear what the word of the Lord is. Come into the house of God, and let's hear what God is saying." And verse 31 says, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh. And they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." So they come as they normally do, and they sit as they normally sit, and they're listening, but they're not obeying. They go away unchanged. That is sad. That you would take the time to come here and hear, but not obey. And not listen, really hearken unto what's being said. Because their heart goeth after their covetousness. Something's got a hold of your heart, and it's not God. What's got a hold of your heart today? That's not God. What is God trying to speak to you when it's like bouncing off a brick? Well, verse 32 says, "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not." It's as if it's like some kind of, just I love listening to the preaching. I love to hear it, but I don't do anything about it. It's like listening to a concert, but not knowing really, not hearing the real, the wonder of the instruments and all that. Your voice, when a person gets up here to preach, we shouldn't be enamored with who they are and their voice. It's what are they saying? What is God saying? And that's what happened here. Like it's just entertainment of some kind. Verse 33 says, "And when this cometh to pass, and lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them." Sowing and reaping. If you don't want to listen, you will listen at some point when you reap what you sow. I'm just saying, if you came here this morning, listen to what's being said. And if you get something from God, why don't you obey it? Don't just come and just sit there, because you've wasted your time, frankly. If you come, why don't you listen? Why don't you do something about what you hear today? Hearing and obeying. What good is hearing with no intent to obey? Really, what good is it? It's like a soldier that's told what to do in a battle, and he begins to question his superiors, or he doesn't listen to the command. Well, we're soldiers in the Lord's army, and when he gives us commands, we're to obey. We're to hear what God is telling us. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. You know, when you read your Bible, God says some hard things you wouldn't let anybody else say to you. He calls you a fool. You wouldn't let somebody call you a fool. You might lash out at them. But when God says it, I have no problem telling you. God says you're a fool if we don't do these things. Look at verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his life upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You have to ask yourself, am I a fool? Or am I a wise man? I mean, first of all, if I built my house upon a rock, am I saved here today? Because Christ is the rock. Are you saved here today? If you're saved here today, then why would you build your house with anything but the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you can't build a Christian life except for the sayings of this book, upon what God has told us. If your house is built on a rock, then you're saved, and you should build your Christian life with what God has said. That's going to be a house that's going to stand up when the storms of life come. But if your house is built on sand, if you're building something on sand, then you're not even saved. You haven't obeyed the first things, which is you need to enter in through the narrow way. There's only one way to be saved. Only one. Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He's the only truth and the only life. If your house isn't built on that rock, then when the storms of life come, it's going to fall. Plus, you will wind up in hell when your life is over because you're not saved. Because you started out on sand. And it's going to be destroyed like this house was destroyed. But a person who's built their house on Jesus Christ, who's saved, and then decides they're going to build the house, their Christian life, on anything but the sayings of this book, that Christian life is going to fail. You might be saved, but that Christian life is going to fall. And it's going to fail. Are you a fool or are you a wise man? Is your house built on the rock, Jesus Christ, or built on sand? Are you just, do you think you're saved, or you never really, you don't know if you're saved? You're on sand. Your house is on sand. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. In verse 11. You know, the opposite of swift to hear is dull. Slow. And in verse 11, chapter 5, it says, of whom we have many things to say, talking about Christ, of whom, Christ, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. You're slow to hear. Are you listening? Are you really listening? Or are you dull of hearing? For the time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Because you're not listening, you're not hearing, you're not obeying, you're not growing as a Christian. And he goes on to talk about, in verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. But if we're dull of hearing, we can't be told anymore. We're not listening. We're not ready to hear. That's what this whole month is about, being ready to hear what God has to say to us. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Who are you listening to? Yourself? The television? The radio? Your friends? Just who is it are you listening to? But in Acts chapter 4 and verse 19... Well, verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. In verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. He goes on to say, we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. Because this is what we've heard, we have to speak it. So they were listening to God. More to God, more than unto God, judge ye, they said. Who are you listening to? Are you listening to your peers or are you listening to your pastor and your parents? Who are you listening to? We also need to be slow to speak. I just want to touch on this a little bit. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. We need to be slow to speak. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, it says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. So the more we talk, when we don't know what we're talking about, without understanding, there's going to be sin. Wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. We need to be careful about what we say to other people. We need to be very careful what comes out of our mouth. Because what comes out of our mouth comes out of our heart. And many times our heart isn't right with God. So in the multitude of words, if you're just going to keep talking and talking, sooner or later, sin's going to come out. You're going to hurt somebody. You're going to say the wrong thing. Because you're just talking and talking and you're not thinking. You're not slow to hear. I mean, swift to hear, but slow to speak. Look in chapter 17. Chapter 17 of Proverbs, in verse 28. You know, if we would just learn to keep our mouth shut at times and be quiet, we could be counted as a wise man. Even when we don't know what to say. Even when we don't have full understanding. Then just be quiet. And don't say anything. In verse 28, it says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Sometimes it'd be good just to be quiet. Just not say anything. Sometimes we just want to hear ourselves talk. But sometimes we say foolish things and we hurt people because we need to be slow to speak. We need to be careful that what we're saying isn't hurting somebody or even giving the wrong counsel. So sometimes it's best just to keep your peace and be quiet. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The world isn't going to help us talk better, I'll tell you that. All the things that are out there in the world are not going to help us talk better because there's nothing but vile, disgusting, wicked speech out there and things that are going on. And the more time we spend out there, the less we're able to actually talk and help people with the words from the Bible. Because in Ephesians 4:29 it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You see, we do have control over our mouth. It says, let no corrupt communication. Don't let any defiling and polluting speech come out of your mouth. It's like looking at a smokestack and the black smoke's coming out. You wouldn't want to breathe that air, would you? Well, some people don't want to hear corrupting speech. And it shouldn't be our speech that is defiling someone else. Don't let that kind of communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is gracious. Words that build up and words that edify. That's going to come from being ready to hear what God has to say and then slow to speak and carefully think about the words that you're talking to someone else. Ephesians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Turn over a couple books to the right. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 6 it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how that you ought to answer every man. Can you imagine always giving people what they don't deserve, even when you're talking to them? Just speaking nice to them. I'm not saying not giving the right counsel and hard counsel when it's needed. I'm just saying just being nice to people. Just having words of grace that build them up and help them. To favor others. That's that word grace. Always with grace. And seasoned words. Can you imagine just thinking carefully what you're going to say? All of us have a problem with that. Many of you know, we just keep talking. And we're not even thinking about what we're saying. But if we sprinkled it with a little scripture of what we're saying and just carefully thought out what we were saying, we could be a help to people. Let your speech be always with grace. Be slow to speak. And when you do, speak words of grace. Words that edify. Words that help. Words that build up. Words that encourage other people. Turn to Psalm 69. The Lord is ready to hear. Psalm 69 and in verse 16. I'm glad God's always ready to hear. I'm glad the Lord is always ready to hear my prayers. Psalm 69, and in verse 16, the Bible says, hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. I'm just glad God is merciful. I'm glad God listens to me when I need Him. Even when I've done something wrong and I come to Him, that He's there. He'll hear me because of His loving kindness, His grace toward me. It's good, and turn unto me according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies. His mercies are new every day. God won't give me what I deserve if I turn to Him. The Lord is ready to hear. Look at Psalm 34. Look at Psalm 34. And in verse 17. Psalm 34, 17 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Aren't you glad? All their troubles. Anybody got troubles today? Yeah, we all do. We all have some troubles. When we cry unto the Lord, He delivereth us out of all our troubles. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." All of the troubles, the righteous cry, and God delivers. Are you righteous this morning? I'm not talking about are you self-righteous, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Talk about God sent His Son Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to die on the cross, that when I received Him as my Savior, I got His righteousness. So I am righteous. I'm one of God's children. And when I cry out my troubles, He listens. The same way any father or mother in here, if they heard the voice of their child, they'd be listening. And then He'd deliver them out of all their troubles, because that's what dads do. And that's what your Heavenly Father will do. Are you righteous here this morning? Do you even know Him as your Father? Does He know you this morning? God will deliver us out of all of our afflictions. You know, God is drawn to a broken and contrite heart, like iron fillings to a magnet. He just is drawn to that. He's drawn to a contrite heart. What we need is a broken heart. We need a contrite heart. And God will draw close. And when we pour out our troubles and all the afflictions that are in our life, and all the things that we need God to do something about, He will deliver us. He'll deliver us. Look in Jonah. Turn to Jonah, chapter 2. In all of our troubles, Jonah, chapter 2. After Obadiah. Where's Obadiah? Jonah, chapter 2, and verse 1 says this. Now we know the story of Jonah. Jonah, chapter 2, verse 1. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me, and out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou heardest my voice." In the worst of situations, God can deliver, and God hears His children. God hears our cry. The Lord will always hear. When everybody else, even if they try to hear, can't help us, God not only hears and can help us, and He'll deliver us out of all of our afflictions. Jonah was in the belly of a fish that had gone down to the bottom of the sea. How far away from God are you this morning? Because Jonah was about as far away as you can get from God. But when he cried out, God delivered him. And God will do the same thing for you. If you're one of His children, maybe you need to cry out to be saved. Maybe you're lost here this morning. You don't even know God as your God's Son, Jesus Christ, is your Savior. That's what you need to cry out for this morning, to be saved. Is Jesus your God? We're never too far away from Him. Isaiah 57:15 says that He is the high and holy one. Let's turn there. I'm going to mess that one up good. Isaiah 57. And in verse 15, Isaiah 57 and verse 15, look what God says. Isaiah 57:15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Do you see, He lives in eternity? But He also lives in my heart. and He'll draw close to me and He'll help me. If my heart is broken, if I humble myself, He'll draw close and He'll revive me and He'll deliver me and He'll help me. Because the Lord hears. The Lord always hears. 1 John chapter 5. He hears in the worst of situations, but He also hears when we want His will. I wonder, in your own heart of hearts, do you really want the will of God? Do you really want the will of God? Do you believe God has a will for your life? Amen? Do you really want it? In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. What can you ask for anything better than that? Do you want His will? Or do you want your will? Do you want to do what you want to do? But if you ask in confidence, in faith, His will, He will hear. He will hear. And verse 15 says, if we know that He hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that He will give to us. The petitions that we desire to Him will be answered. He will hear. Mark it down. If you want the will of God, you pray into the will of God, He hears you and He will answer. God is not like man that lies to us. He will answer our prayers if we want His will. I don't know about you, but I love when God answers my prayers. He does answer my prayers. He answers every prayer, really. Yes, no, or wait. But when you know that God has answered a specific prayer, that will blow you away. That I asked for His will to be done, and He did it. Specific petitions of God, He hears, and He will answer. And finally, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, before I get to the last point here, look at 2 Chronicles. The Lord will hear. We know these verses of Scripture. In verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, when your heart is set on getting back to God, going back to God, God will hear. You know, it really should be God's people desiring God. If my people, when God's people desire God again and humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear. So it just doesn't happen until we do what we're supposed to do. There's a condition on it. If my people do these things, then I will hear from heaven. And I will forgive them. And I'll hear the land. God is ready to hear. Are you ready to repent? Are you ready to get right with God? Or do you just want to go your own way? But the Lord is ready to hear. And finally, the world needs to hear. You need to hear. You might be here this morning. You need to hear that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins so that you could be saved. The world needs to hear that. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So let me share some verses of Scripture with you. But people need to hear the truth. Maybe you've never heard the truth about the gospel, what it really means to be saved. People need to hear the truth, that there is a narrow way and there's a broad way. A lot of people want to go their own way, their own religion, do their own thing, and think they're going to be good enough to stand before a holy God. That's the broad way. And it leads to a burning hell. But there's a narrow way. And Jesus said, I am that way. And there's only one way to get into heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. People need to hear that. They need to hear the truth. Death is going to come, you're going to die, and hell is hot, and it's forever. That's not going to change. So people need to hear that. The world needs to hear that. And there might be some people in here that need to hear that today. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59. You say, I'm okay. Stop ranting and raving. I'm all right. No, you're not. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not okay. In fact, in verse 1 of chapter 59 of Isaiah, it says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy, that it cannot, what? Hear. He will hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you. And He will not hear till you get those sins taken care of. He will not hear. It's your sins that have separated you from God. God wants to hear, but you have separated yourself from God, even as Christians separate themselves from God because of their sin. And He will not hear until the sin is taken care of. But if you're here today without Christ, your sin will send you to a burning hell. But Jesus died on the cross for your sins. It's our sins that separate us. Baptism can't help that. Good works can't help that. Whatever position you might have at work can't help that. Whatever power you think you have can't help that. Church can't help that. A priest can't help that. A pastor can't help that. Mary can't help that. Only the blood. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away sin. Only the blood. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and Ephesians say basically the same thing. But in Colossians chapter 1, you need to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14 says, Colossians 1:14, in whom, Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So why did Jesus shed His blood on the cross? To redeem, to buy back, to forgive, to make an atonement, a covering for sin. That's what His blood was for on the cross. Look in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. You need to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ in order to be saved. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Do you hear what God says? Are you listening? God says you need to be washed in the blood. That's why He shed His blood on the cross, so that He could wash sins away, so that He could make an atonement for your sins, not His, for your sins. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 14, it says, How shall they call? How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? 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 Without somebody telling them that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. You know, Paul was burdened for his people. He said it was his heart's desire that all Israel might be saved. And he says, I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You might be here thinking you know God and you go to church but you're trusting in your good works or a baptism or some religion you're trusting in and not Jesus Christ. You may have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Because it says in verse 3 of chapter 10, For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness. That's the problem. You don't have any righteousness. Right. You are a sinner and you're lost. Christ is the one that is righteous. He's the one that poured out His blood on that cross so that you might be made righteous if you believe on Him and trust Him. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's simply by faith. It's simply by trusting in Him and not yourself. Because your sins have separated you from God. You are a sinner because you were born with that nature. Look in John chapter 5. I'm sorry, look in John Romans chapter 9 there, 10 verse 9. It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? This morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you have to put your faith in what He did on that cross as the payment for your sins. Are you hearing what the Bible is saying? Turn to John chapter 5. Just a couple more verses now I'm through. John chapter 5. And in verse 24, John 5:24, Jesus says this, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That means if you're not here without Christ, you're dead. He said, but I'm sitting here in a chair. I'm okay. You're alive physically, but you are dead in your spirit. You are dead. You have a dead spirit. But if you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you would trust what He did at Calvary as payment for your sins, you can have everlasting life. And you will not come into condemnation. The judgment is passed. It was placed on Christ. The judgment would be passed. And you are passed from death unto life. You can be born again. Look back in John chapter 3 and in verse 3. Jesus was speaking to a religious man. When he looked into his heart, Nicodemus, and said in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was very much alive physically, but he was dead in his spirit. And he needed to be born again. And so do you, if you don't know Christ here this morning. Last scripture. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. You are dead. Physically alive, spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, And you have He quickened. It means to make alive. You have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's not a physical resurrection. That's a spiritual birth that takes place. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, in the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Look at verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to die on the cross. He did that because He loves this world. And the only way to be saved is through faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. It's not of works. No one can work their way to heaven. A gift is not something you earn. It's something that's given to you, and you need to receive it. This morning, if you don't know Christ, you need to receive the gift of eternal life by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. The world needs to hear that. The world really needs to hear that. And people in this room that aren't saved need to hear that. But you need to respond to it. You need to talk to somebody if you're not sure that you're saved. So, Christians have got to make a point to hear from the Lord. You've got to listen to God's voice. Because our lives and families and a lost world really depend upon our stopping sinning in our own life and hearing God's voice and then obeying it. How are we going to help anybody else if we ourselves are in a lot of sin and problems in our own life? We need to stop the sinning and hear God's voice and obey it. We need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. It needs to become part of our character. It needs to become part of the way we live our lives. We need to learn it and practice it. The wise person will hear. If you want to be wise, hear what God said to you this morning. Hear what God says to you every morning when you open your Bible and obey it. The Lord is ready to hear. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God listens and waits for that repentant heart? God is ready to deliver us out of all of our afflictions. But the world needs to hear also. And there's people in here that need to hear that Jesus loves them. And He died on the cross for their sins. And they can be saved. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, if you've heard what I said, then today's the accepted day. I have heard thee in a time accepted, the Bible says. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Don't walk out unsaved. Don't walk out without finding how to be saved. If you're not sure, you need to be born again. What better day to get saved, born again, than today? Today's the accepted day. Will you make the choice today to be swift to hear? Swift to hear. Let's pray. With every head bowed, please, and every eye closed. Nobody needs to be looking around. You could just be in prayer. I just want to ask a simple question. Someone might be here and they don't know. They don't know if they're saved. They don't know if they've been born again. They're not sure where they're going to spend eternity. You have an eternal soul that Jesus Christ died for on the cross. And I'm just asking, if you're not sure you're saved, if you would like to know more about being saved, what it means to be born again, could you just raise your hand real quick? Just put your hand up real quick and then put it down. I want to know how to be saved. I'm not going to call you out of your seat. I just want to know if there's someone here that's not saved and would like to know more about being born again. Just put your hand up real quick. All right, Christian, we need to hear what God has to say. And the Lord hears us, and there's a world out there that needs to hear. And I wonder, are you listening to God with an obedient ear? Father, I pray that you would just take the message and apply it to our hearts, Lord. And it wasn't an easy one, because, Lord, all of us find ourselves with our ears stopped sometimes and not listening to you. And Lord, I want to be I want to communicate better. I want to talk to people better. I want to understand better and be a help to people and not tear them down. I want to be an encourager and a builder-upper, not a tear down people's lives with my words. God, I pray you'd help me to be swift to hear, and slow to speak, and certainly slow to wrath. God, help us to not flip that around. Help us to be a church that ministers to each other with a gracious speech and words that are seasoned with salt. And so, Father, I pray that the first thing you told us to do would be swift to hear. I pray we've heard that this morning, Lord, and that you'd speak to our hearts and help us, God. And Lord, I know because I've sat in meetings like this before I got saved and I could not raise my hand, but the tears streamed down my cheek. I knew I wasn't saved. God, I pray if someone's here that's not saved, they wouldn't feel embarrassed to just get a hold of the pastor or me, someone, and say, I just want to know more about this being saved thing. Lord, I pray that you'd impress that upon their heart. Thank you, Lord, for what you taught us today. In Jesus' name, amen.